Ryan here from Sanji. This is the Rorschach Spain update from the 3rd of July, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Spain. Kicking things off this week, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, leader of the Partido Popular, is preparing to test support for a no-confidence vote against President Pedro Sánchez, leader of PSOE. On Monday the 30th, Carlos Cerdán, Sánchez's close ally, was arrested without bail while the police continued to investigate corruption allegations within PSOE. Feijóo declared the situation unsustainable and tasked Miguel Tellado, spokesperson for the People's Party, with reaching out to Sánchez's coalition partners and gaining their support for the no-confidence vote. Sánchez's government relies on a fragile coalition of PSOE, Sumar, and several separatist and nationalist parties. Now for an update to a story from a previous show. On Thursday the 26th, U.S. President Donald Trump criticized Spain's decision to opt out of NATO's new spending targets, saying the country wanted a little bit of a free ride and that it would have to pay back to us on trade through higher tariffs. Spain shocked the political world last week by opting out of NATO's new defense spending target of 5% of GDP, citing domestic priorities and economic concerns. Sanchez stated Spain is open to discussions with the United States. Sanchez is not the only one feeling the heat. Fossil fuel-induced climate change heat wave has gripped Europe this week, with southern Spain in particular reaching record levels. Temperatures hit as high as 46 degrees centigrade, 115 degrees Fahrenheit, in El Granado, southwest Spain, the region's highest June temperature ever. Authorities across the continent issued red and amber heat warnings. A woman in Barcelona passed away on Saturday the 28th after working outdoors in the heat, which prompted an investigation. High-pressure systems of dry air are driving temperatures even higher, with forecast warning of more heat waves to come. One thing you don't want in hot weather is a power outage. With the residents in Barcelona, that's exactly what happened for some of them. On the evening of Monday the 30th, around 5,000 residents of Barcelona and surrounding areas were left in darkness without fans or air conditioning during the intense heat wave. Endesa, one of Spain's big three energy companies, blamed the situation on multiple simultaneous failures, describing it as a perfect storm that forced them to reconfigure the grid. Some areas supply was restored within minutes, while others faced longer delays due to difficult access for technicians. Outage coincided with Barcelona's hottest June day on record, staggering 38 degrees centigrade, 100 degrees Fahrenheit, prompting widespread frustration on social media. Take a look at where Morocco is getting its oil. On Tuesday the 1st, sources from El País reported that Spain has sharply increased diesel imports from Morocco, rising suspicion that Russian fuel may be entering the country in violation of EU sanctions. Between March and April this year, Spain imported over 123,000 tons of diesel from Morocco, surpassing the total of the previous 4 years combined. Morocco has not sanctioned Russian oil and imported over 1 million tons of Russian diesel in 2025, making up 25% of its total imports. Experts suspect this Russian diesel was blended or relabeled before being re-exported to Spain. The Spanish government has launched an investigation, but faces challenges due to diesel's complex composition, making it more difficult to test than gasoline. From Oil Aid, between Monday the 30th and Thursday the 3rd, the world's leaders gathered in Sevilla for the once-in-a-decade UN conference on financing for development. Conference aimed to tackle critical global issues like poverty, hunger, climate change, and healthcare, with over 4,000 representatives from across the world. The United States notably withdrew, with President Donald Trump slashing over 80% of USAID programs since January. This move, along with aid cuts from Germany, the UK, and France to meet NATO defense demands, has drawn a bunch of criticism. Speaking of deals with the U.S., on Wednesday the 2nd, in an interview with media firm Capital Forum, Teresa Rivera, Spain's first executive vice president of the European Commission for Clean, Just, and Competitive Transition, firmly rejected any compromise on Europe's digital rules so that the EU could make a trade deal with the U.S. Rivera made it very clear that the EU should not give up control of its own rules, even to reach a deal with the government powerhouse. Standing firm, Rivera said that unlike Germany, which seems more than willing to make trade-offs to help its economy, Spain will not. As a top socialist in a mostly conservative EU commission, she used her position to speak up for her party's views. Next, hitting the books on Tuesday the 1st, Spain's former king Juan Carlos I announced he would release a personal memoir later this year titled Reconciliation. A little aspirational there. Juan Carlos' publisher called the book uncompromising as it explores his private life and public role in Spain, written in the first person during his self-imposed exile in Abu Dhabi. The book is described as a response to what Juan Carlos sees as an effort to erase or distort his legacy. Former king has faced multiple accusations of alleged corruption and secret funding. Funds over the years, his lavish lifestyle and controversial hunting trips during the country's financial crisis led to a public backlash and his 2014 abdication. He's promised a candid emotional reflection on his life. Some more controversies. On Monday the 30th, firefighters in the community of Madrid protested for better working conditions by setting fire to 22 control towers and lighting bonfires at their stations. The Community of Madrid Firefighters Union organized the protest with about 70% of those represented taking part. Protests followed the Ministry of Economy, Finance, and Employment's attempt to unilaterally change a previously agreed contract, which the workforce had approved by referendum. After several hours of negotiation, the government reversed all the changes and restored the original contract. The final agreement included a 10,000 euro annual salary increase for a firefighter, adjusted working hours, and higher pay for night shifts. On a note about fires, Tuesday the 1st, a large wildfire in Lleida, Catalonia, tragically claimed the lives of two people. The fire was likely caused by agricultural machinery and spread rapidly over 5,000 hectares, which is about 7,000 soccer fields, reaching record speeds of 17 miles or 28 kilometers per hour, generating wind gusts of up to 70 miles or 113 kilometers per hour. Over 30 fire units were aided by local farmers who worked overnight to stabilize the fire and prevent flare-ups. Regional President Salvador Illia visited the scene on Wednesday the 2nd and called for integrated land management to better handle future wildfire risks. In the capital, early Monday the 2nd, hundreds of passengers faced chaos at Madrid's Barajas Airport as a technical failure prevented access to passport control system in Terminal 4. The glitch triggered hour-long queues, flight delays, widespread travel disruptions. The airport also saw a higher number of international departures than average as many Spaniards attempted to catch their summer vacation flights. Police and airport staff worked to restore functionality and manage crowd flows, but the issue was not resolved until the afternoon, causing many passengers to miss their flights. Now for something a bit snappy. In a Michelin-starred restaurant in Fuengirola, southern Spain, called Soyo, Chef Diego Gallegos cultivates river fish to feed his guests like tilapia, bagre, tenca, and even piranhas. Chef Diego fishes sustainably and has found a way to grow vegetables without soil. He trained at top culinary schools and kitchens for years before following his passions and opening Soyo in 2014. Wrapping up this edition, a celebration of a board game classic on Monday the 30th, Vitoria, the capital of the Basque Country, hosted the International Convention of Twilight Struggle, a board game that recreates the Cold War. The beloved board game is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, designed for two players. One is the U.S., the other is the USSR. The game uses historical event cards and a world map to simulate the ideological and geopolitical struggle for influence. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. If you want to join the Rorschach team as the Ocean Update writer, just send us an email at info@rorschach.com with Ocean Writer position in the subject line. Tell us why you'd like to write these updates. Click on the link in the show notes to check out the job description. Hasta la próxima.